Three American miniatures for flute and clarinet. We heard Fanfare and Proclamation, Blues and a Rag. That was clarinetist Dr. Kenan White and flutist Dr. Johanna Cowan White from the faculty at Central Michigan University. We are showing a little love to our faculty and student ensembles today, welcoming everyone back for the winter semester here at Central Michigan University. I'm Judy Wagley. Thanks so much for joining me for Afternoon Classical today. And yes, there's more going on at CMU this week. Today, we open a new exhibit at the Park Library in the Baber Room called Samaras, featuring a one-woman exhibit by Ann Arbor fiber artist Jill Alt. Jill, welcome. Thanks for making the trip from Ann Arbor today.
Yeah, thanks very much. I'm glad to be here.
And Janet Danick. Janet is the exhibits coordinator at the library. Thanks so much, Janet, for coming in today.
Thank you very much. We're always happy to share the arts and cultural exhibits and events that we're having at the library. So thank you very much to CMU for hosting this.
Janet, thank you so much for giving me a sneak preview on Friday of the exhibit. It is amazing. And we're on the radio, of course, so folks can't see the quilts, but there are, I think, around 20 quilts, Jill's quilts exhibited there. Jill, can you give us a visual picture of what we can see in the Baber Room when we visit the Samaras exhibit?
Yes, you shouldn't expect a classic grandma's quilt. I take a photograph or do a drawing and have it printed digitally on fabric by an outside company, and then take many copies of that photograph or image and cut them up so that the image seems to walk in pieces across the quilt and down the quilt.
So that's your process. You take the photos,
right,
and take them to be printed on the fabric. Then you cut that up in small pieces.
Yes.
And put it all back together.
Oh, my.
And not randomly.
No, there's
you
a
have
real,
a plan.
There's a real plan.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Where do you get your inspiration to do that?
Well, I've taken photographs of houseplants that are around my house. There's an amaryllis and a fern. Some of it just sort of comes out of my head, and who knows where. I always wonder where ideas come from anyway.
How did you develop that process, the taking the photos, having them printed, cutting them up, and reassembling them?
Well, I saw I took a picture of a plant through a corrugated piece of glass. The glass waves, and you used to see them in old doctor's offices, which splits up the image, and that's really the source of that.
Oh, I see. Now, had you been making traditional quilts before?
Well, I've always made art quilts. I did a whole series of work with hand dyeing and shibori, which is a kind of controlled tie-dye. So since I took an early retirement, and since then I have explored many different ways to work with fabric.
What field did you retire from, Jill?
I was an accountant at Ford Motor.
Somehow that does not surprise me, because your quilts are very precise and very analytical, maybe, should I say?
Right, and a grid, just like a spreadsheet.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah, because you have to have that certain, that mindset of thinking like a mathematician, like an accountant, to do what you do. So that doesn't surprise me. And what a great balance of left brain, right brain that you have accomplished.
When
there.
It works, that's a good balance. When I get confused and get lost, then it's not such a good balance.
Well, how do you know what squares to put together to make that image look like it is walking across the quilt?
Well, I cut the fabric into strips and then cut squares out. So I'm reproducing a strip, several copies of a strip, and I'm just alternating a piece from strip one and then strip two and then strip three.
That sounds complicated.
It's really so very interesting because many of the source photographs that Jill uses are plants, like she said, amaryllis, mm-hmm. fern. They're very organic. There's hosta.
Hostas,
and
I saw those.
Mm-hmm. Then what she evolves them into is not at all natural, and not in the least. It is extremely controlled, and it's really interesting to see
pretty
how
abstract,
you visualize yes. the from the source to what you create in the end. It's they're beautiful. They're absolutely fascinating.
Yes, and some of the quilts are quite large. So how do you know, as you're working on them, you know that you're accomplishing what you want to accomplish? How do you know it's working?
Well, I look at it, and it doesn't flow across. There's something out of order. My patch is upside down. So during this process, I have done a lot of ripping out of seams.
You know,
and re-sewing.
Janet, that's good to know, isn't it?
I have a question for Jill. Have you, in your mind, the size, the scale, the ratio of height to width figured before you start making the quilt, or does it evolve?
It's determined by the original photograph.
Okay.
And it just happens.
It evolves.
So in other words, you are sort of recreating the original photographs with little pieces of that
yes,
photograph.
Yes.
And recreating the light and the.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, I will print maybe a 6x8 image and then split it into many squares, split many copies into several squares. And then when they get sewn together, that 6x8 image will grow into something 36 inches wide or something like that.
And you are hand stitching these together?
Oh, no. I use a sewing machine.
Oh, okay. But I noticed, like you said, like a spreadsheet, they are all little squares.
They are all squares.
Yes. How wonderful. And your photos, were you a photographer before you started this process?
No.
But you mentioned you often use plant material as your inspiration.
Yes. Well, I have, you know, they're colorful.
Yes. And how long have you been doing, have you been working in this process?
In this process, maybe 5 years, something like that.
Really? Is that all?
Yeah.
Oh. Now, Janet, how did we come to have Jill's quilts here at CMU?
Well, the Baber Room hosts many artists. We have 6 shows a year, fine artists. And in 2016, we host the Michigan Fiber Art Network, which hosted many different artists from the area in a lot of different mediums. There was fabric, there was paper, and Jill had a most incredible quilt in that show, which I have not forgotten. And she was just one of many artists that time. So when I need to make sure that as time goes on, we have different mediums. We have artists that are painters or fiber artists or sculptors. And so we've sort of rotated during the past few years. And I asked Jill about a year ago if she would be interested in having a one-woman show. And we're
fortunate. I was indeed.
We were fortunate that she did indeed agree. So I want to also mention that Jill mentioned that she retired early, but her education is in art. She's gone back to her first love in her early retirement.
Ah, I see. Okay.
Yes, I got a BFA from Eastern Michigan. And at that time, I was working as a managing editor of an academic journal at U of M. And that journal went to move to California. And I like Michigan better than California, so I didn't go with it. And then during the process, I was coming into contact with a lot of business terms that I didn't really know. So when the journal left, I was thinking about going back to school, and I was trying to decide whether to go to art school and get an MFA or go to business school and get an MBA. So I applied to both places and said, whoever takes me gets me. And then they both accepted
oh,
me.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
So much for that plan.
Did you flip a coin?
Well, I decided I'd go to be an artist because that's really what I love doing. And it was a new program, and they were insisting that I be there from 8 to 5 every day, which is hard to make a living that way. And I had a child to take care of. So I said, thank you very much, and walked across the street to business school.
Oh, my.
So how things happen.
Yeah. Well, we have the best of both worlds from you now.
Yeah, yeah. Or maybe.
Well, you know, I like to say that there is music for everything. There's a song for everything. And I had found this piece of music, and I had found it anyway before I knew you were coming. And then when I learned that you were coming, I thought, oh, this is perfect. So here's a piece of music called Strings and Threads. Perfect
yes,
for a quilter,
yes.
Don't you think?
Absolutely.
So here's Strings and Threads, and this features guitarist Sharon Isbin and violinist Mark O'Connor. Let's listen. Well, speaking of threads and strings, my guest today, Jill Ault, she is a fiber artist from Ann Arbor, and Janet Danick. Janet is the events, the exhibits coordinator at the Park Library here at Central Michigan University. And as we speak, there's a new one-woman show of Jill's work, her quilts, at the Park Library in the Baber Room. So thanks so much for joining me today, Jill and Janet.
Thank you.
And I hope you enjoyed the threads and strings and threads suite. I thought that was appropriate for a quilter.
Outstanding.
Now, we talked earlier about how your quilts are very high tech. You use computers, take photos, you use computers, you have the images printed onto fabric, you cut them up, you put them back together again. And those quilts, as you mentioned, the design looks like it is going down and across the piece of the artwork there. So beautiful. I had a chance to look at those. Yes. And it occurred to me that you are part of a long, long, long tradition of quilters who started centuries ago by saying, you know, we're cold. We need to keep warm, and we have a pile of scraps. Let's throw them all together and put them together and make something that we could cuddle up under and stay warm. And everything in between, from that original tradition to specific designs. We have our traditional designs, double wedding ring, the bear claw, the Ohio star, all of those traditional designs, to art quilts, to what you're doing now, part of that long tradition.
It is a long tradition, you know, from very sophisticated, or from pretty unsophisticated artists to pretty sophisticated people out there.
Yes, and where do you put yourself on that continuum?
Well, I put myself on the sophisticated side, of course. But I really love the early quilts. There are a group of quilters from Alabama called the G's Bend Quilters, which have made the news over the last 10 or 15 years. And they were purely functional. They started making quilts because the family was cold, and using old blue jeans and old overalls to make them out of, and denim, which is the fabric they use, often makes a very nice pattern because of wear.
Mm-hmm.
So they put these together, and someone discovered this group of quilters, and they have made the rounds of the United States, including the Whitney Museum in New York, which is where I first saw them.
Mm-hmm.
They're quite wonderful. And then you get people who take traditional quilting patterns and bend them and twist them and make something new out of them. I'm thinking of Victoria Wolf, who works with a wedding ring pattern and really does wonderful modern things with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one of those... called a craft, called an art. It's evolved over the years, but
yes.
Started as purely utilitarian.
Purely,
and,
yes.
You know, and as you said, unsophisticated or almost primitive.
Right.
But it's almost exclusively a female art, too. It had been for many years. That's changing now.
Now we have about a 0.5% of us are male.
But it's interesting because when you look at the very early ones, even then, those women were artists. You know,
yes,
they were making decisions that created something beautiful.
Right.
It wasn't just something to keep you warm. Telling the stories of their families, telling the story of their history, making their mark on something that would last.
And reusing family fabrics.
Right.
Yes, passing the ultimate repurposing.
Yes.
And when you think those women, and they were women, all women who
most
were doing
women.
That way back in the day, they were milking the cows all day and tending the garden and taking care of the kids and doing the cleaning and the cooking. And when they had some spare time, they were making quilts in bad light, probably, you know,
probably
stitching
a
by hand.
Single candle
yeah.
or a
mm-hmm.
fireplace.
It's amazing
Can't
that they
imagine.
Did that. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's just such an interesting tradition, and it's and where you are as part of that is interesting too. By what you're doing now, you know, we have the technology, and why not use it?
Yes.
Jill, how would you like people to, when they come to the Baber Room at the Park Library at CMU, how would you like them to look at your quilts? Should we look at them from far away, close up, in a certain order?
No particular order. On the tags, the title tags, there are some of them have pictures of the original artwork mm-hmm. or photograph that was used, and it's often interesting for people to come to find the pieces of the photograph in the quilt.
Oh, yes. Like a, almost like a, oh. Like a Where's Waldo.
In a way, yes.
Find the piece. So would you say, are your quilts in a way like a giant puzzle?
They have been very puzzling to me often. When I get a square turned upside down, I can always see that there's something wrong there, but I don't always know right away what it is and how to solve it.
So it sounds like there are lots of different ways that folks can view the quilts, by yes. looking for those individual pieces,
yeah.
by looking from far away, close up.
Yeah.
And I
see
noticed,
the pattern.
Yeah, see the pattern or see the inspiration. When I looked at the quilt called Hostas,
uh-huh.
it took me a minute to look and focus in that, oh, yes, those are Hostas.
Pieces of flowers.
Yes.
You'll see, too, that Jill doesn't just use the native photograph. She enhances that photograph somehow to put in highlights, color highlights and things that when reproduced multiple times and organized, it creates something that is definitely a piece of art and not just a reproduction of the image.
Yes, right.
Yes, I noticed that too. Yeah. So you start with something and use that to create something different, similar but different.
Yes, sometimes I take a photograph and draw on the photograph using computer software, Illustrator, which emphasizes different edges of a flower or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And you've also appliqued.
Appliqued.
As well as there's paint on at least one of them. On the surface of it, I believe. Maybe I'm wrong. You can correct
oh,
me.
Oh, yes, yes,
okay,
there
thank
is.
You. So there's multiple techniques that are afterwards as well as to the original image before it's printed on fabric. So it's
yes.
extremely complex, which I'm really looking forward to your presentation at 3 o'clock so I can hear about the entire process.
Yes, we do have a presentation. Jill will give a presentation in the Opperman
Auditorium
at mm-hmm. 3 o'clock, and everyone is welcome. Jill, one more thing. How do you want people to feel when they view your quilts?
Oh, feel. Intrigued, I think. Interested in how that image came to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think of them mostly pretty joyful, the bright colored ones. I spent some time recently on the Oregon coast, which really impressed me. So there are three or four of them that begin with images from the Oregon coast. Not like Central Michigan.
Especially today, right?
Right.
Yeah. Well, you made the trip from Ann Arbor, so yeah. Kudos to you for doing that. It wasn't too bad. That's good to hear. Janet. You installed this exhibit last week. Tell me a little bit about what it's like to install a quilt exhibit.
Every exhibit we do is unique. That's the beauty of art expositions. And we have friends that always come in and help. In this particular one, I asked Jill if she had an order that she wanted these to be hung in. And when anyone who's ever been in the Baber Room, you know you have different perspectives. You see it from the hallway. We have a beautiful 40-foot glass wall where you can see into the exhibit. So we carefully plan where our points of view are for people that are walking through the library and just glance in. What are they going to see at that time? Or as soon as you walk into the space, what is the featured quilt that's directly in front of you? So it certainly isn't a random opportunity. And these are big pieces. So we're very careful. We do it. We treat it in an archival way. We're wearing gloves. We, in this particular one, we have sheets on the floor where we lay all the quilts out first to see how the order works. And we're blessed with a beautiful hanging system in the Baber Room, which allows us to get things up pretty quickly once those decisions are made. But it was a great experience because these are gorgeous quilts and we got to handle them. You can't, but we did have that opportunity.
With your white gloves on.
That's right.
Or you could volunteer for the next show.
There you go.
Janet, will you give us the details of the show called Samaras? By the way, one more question, Jill. What are Samaras?
Samaras are the maple seeds that fall off maple trees.
The helicopters?
The helicopters.
Oh, those are called Samaras.
Yes. I didn't know it either until a friend of mine said, you've used Samaras. And I went and looked it up, and sure enough, I was.
Did you call them helicopters, too, before you knew that they were called Samaras?
I just called them maple seeds. Oh. but I know the helicopters, too.
And the very first quilt, when you walk into the right, incorporates images of Samaras. So, yeah. Well, the exhibit opens today. It is open whenever the library is open. The Baber Room is accessible. There is no admission, and it is open until March 5th. So, but we have the presentation this afternoon in the auditorium, which begins at 3. Afterwards, we will come into the Baber Room where there's a catered reception. And all are welcome. We hope you'll join us.
Yes, we do.
Thank you so much, Janet. Thank you for coming in, for inviting Jill to present her quilts here at CMU. And Jill, thank you for everything you do to make the world just more beautiful with your art. Yes, and it's really great to see how you incorporate the very traditional art of quilt making with the high-tech things that you do too. So it's I would encourage everyone to come to CMU whenever you can between now and March 5th and get to the library and visit the Baber Room and see these exquisite quilts. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. And thanks for having us.
Very much. Thank you.
Now, do you remember I told you there's a song for everything?
Yes.
I have one more for you. Now, maybe this is appropriate for a quilt maker, but it's called Pick Up the Pieces.
Yeah.
Let's listen. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Judy.
Thank you.